Dakota salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of COTA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use COTA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on COTA. Plan your ride and learn more at COTA.com/trip planner.
Okay, so we know when the Federal Reserve cuts rates, it's actually good for us. It helps us, you know, get cheaper money, get cheaper mortgages, cheaper cars. But what happens globally? When the Federal Reserve starts cutting rates, is there ramifications throughout the whole world? I bet you didn't know a lot of this information about quantitative tightening, quantitative easing, maybe the carry trade. Remember about a month or two ago, stock market dropped about 1,000 points, and everybody's like, what happened? And then all of a sudden the carry trade, and everybody's like, what's the carry trade? Things like this is what you need to understand to basically make an understanding of the markets. So it's the unknowing or the lack of knowledge a lot of times where people, they'll sit there and argue with you because they don't know, you know, the true answers. So they'll provide the information that they think that is accurate. But this video was right on point. It actually provides great detail into many areas right through here. Economic tightening, the carry trade, the world's lender of last resort, and other currencies. So let's get to this report. I will pause it here and there as the video goes through for teaching moments. But without further ado, let's see how much of an impact the Federal Reserve has on the world. So let's take it away.
The Federal Reserve is the world's largest central bank.
The Fed is important to the global economy in so many different ways. The U.S. is the sort of the locomotive of the global economy.
Even though other central bankers often say that they don't follow the Fed, they often implicitly have to.
The Fed's leaders see a slowdown coming in the U.S. job market.
The time has come for policy to adjust.
The time has come for policy to adjust is the quote that's been heard around the world.
Those changes can alter how much dollars are worth in the United States and beyond.
There's a huge trust factor, and therefore the dollar is seen as the world's reserve currency.
So how did the Fed become the world's most powerful central bank? And what do its upcoming decisions mean for the global economy? The U.S. economy, guided by the Fed, is the largest in the world.
The U.S. economy's stature is one of the key drivers of the importance of the Fed, given that the U.S. economy remains one of the largest economies in the world, and certainly of late, one of the ones that's been fastest growing.
A country and its currency doesn't become important and the world's most important currency overnight. The value of the currency depends a lot on the economy. If the economic conditions are right, there's economic growth in the region, then the currency will also appreciate and do well.
From 2022 to 2023, interest rates controlled by the Fed rose to over 5%. Many central banks around the world did the same, making loans more expensive and slowing.
Okay, so remember when they said a lot of the other banks, they really don't, you know, go by what the Fed does? So is this a coincidence? Okay, so the Fed raised rates all the way up to there. Every other country did the same. You could see it all back throughout history. A couple little pockets where they didn't, but normally all the world's, basically throughout the whole world, their banking systems kind of mock what the Federal Reserve does. So this is where rates went over the last 20 years, and you can see a good correlation there as well.
Slowing economic development to halt a global bout of inflation.
Everybody took the elevator on the way up, tightened monetary policy very rapidly. The Fed was at 5.5%. Most other central banks were either close to or slightly lower to the Fed's policy rate, certainly across advanced economies.
Higher interest rates can increase the value of cash.
If interest rates are high, relative to other countries, the dollar is appreciating.
Higher interest rates also make it more difficult to receive raises at work. This can prevent escalating bouts of inflation that economists call wage price spirals.
The Fed has managed the currency for a long period of time in a way that is supportive of a strong dollar. So they will tend to cut off any threat of wage price spirals, and they've done that for a long period of time.
The Federal Reserve manages those interest rates based on what they see is happening in the labor markets and inflation.
By the end of summer 2024, signs of an economic slowdown appeared in the U.S., prompting central bankers to consider reductions in interest rates.
As the Fed lowers its rate, it's going to get closer to other central banks' interest rates.
Changes to the Fed's interest rate can disrupt stock market trading techniques too.
And that's really what we saw in early August, where we had this sudden global market sell-off that initially started off of a weaker than expected payroll report in the US.
The cooling in labor market conditions is unmistakable.
We still had job growth that was positive. We had a slight increase in the unemployment rate. What happened was that it was weaker than expected.
The weak labor data led investors to abandon a popular strategy called the carry trade. Here's how it works.
You borrow in a currency that is cheaper, undervalued, and then you invest in a higher yielding currency.
For example, an investor might borrow money in Japanese yen to buy U.S. assets, like the 10-year treasury bond.
When a carry trade is working well, that means the value of my dollar assets that I've just purchased are appreciating compared with my yen borrowing that I've used to finance the trade.
But that strategy can backfire.
If the Fed is all of a sudden expected to cut more than people were expecting, that can start to depreciate the dollar.
So if one central bank's cutting interest rates, the Fed, and another central bank is raising interest rates, the Bank of Japan, it leads to a weaker dollar and an appreciation in the yen.
And this is exactly what's going on. So we will be starting to monitor the dollar versus the yen to see if, you know, what direction it's taking, because it does play a role in all of this. And this is also not just the interest rate market, but also the equity markets are, you know, at risk of all this as well.
This spread, this delta between policy rates that is narrowing, the unwinding of those technical positions can actually exacerbate some of the movements in foreign exchange currency.
So it's not just about sort of a small shift in expectations, but that small shift in expectations can be magnified into a really big move.
The Fed's mandate is a U.S.-based mandate. So the Fed is going to do whatever makes sense for the U.S., but obviously the Fed is also keeping the global economy in mind.
The rate cuts also affect financial conditions in many parts of the world.
Why is the Fed followed so broadly, internationally, globally? Because the actions of the Fed, Federal Reserve Board, they're not just limited to the U.S. They have a spillover effect in other parts of the world also. There's some saying that when the U.S. sneezes, emerging markets catch a cold.
The tightening of financial conditions, particularly in the U.S., has been one of the major concerns for emerging markets. If we think we're on the precipice of non-recessionary rate cuts in the U.S., some of those capital flows can start to reverse, and that can be a boon for emerging market policymakers.
And some countries are dollarized, so those countries will feel an even bigger impact.
The world's use of dollars gives the Fed some additional influence in times of crisis.
This section here is actually new to me as well, and I'm just being completely transparent with you guys. I learned a lot in this section, so please pay attention.
There are strong interlinkages, financial linkages, and in today's very interconnected world, those types of movements occur very rapidly.
The pandemic was a notable example. The Fed was sending money to other countries using their so-called swap lines.
The introduction of the swap lines has really restored dollar funding markets around the world to fairly normal levels of activity.
Swap lines are temporary loans sent from one central bank to another. For example, the Bank of Japan had $225 billion in outstanding withdrawals from its swap line with the Federal Reserve at a point in 2020. The Fed provides those loans to a select group of international authorities to ensure that disruptions abroad don't create problems back in the States.
It's a great tool during periods of financial crisis to know that the Fed is there willing to provide dollars when the global economy needs it. In a way, it's an insurance. If the ECB needs dollars, what are their options? They can go to a swap line, or they can sell the U.S. Treasury securities that they own. You'd rather not have everybody selling their U.S. Treasury securities because they need dollars. You'd rather have some other option available to them, like a swap line.
The use of
this was genius. So what they did is they said, okay, when the European central banks and a lot of other countries, they were running short on money for stimulus purposes, they would have to generate money or get cash, they'd have to sell their treasuries. Okay, when you sell the treasuries, you're going to take a haircut. You're going to lose a little bit of money because you didn't hold them to maturity. So that, they don't really want to do that. So these swap lines that opened up, they centralized and controlled or managed the treasury market. So there wasn't huge ups and downs there. And it gave the ability for these countries to get the money that they needed. A brilliant scenario.
Of swap lines can halt rapid swings in the value of dollars and other currencies.
If you look at global foreign reserves, if you look at foreign exchange trades, all of those trades are done mostly in US dollars. And wherever there is another currency, its share is relatively minimal.
When they were used in the pandemic, swap lines were responsible for nearly 20% of the increase in the Fed's balance sheet. Other economic heavyweights like the European Central Bank and People's Bank of China offer swap lines too. China has extended swap lines to about 40 central banks, but some researchers believe this network is primarily used by countries who have difficulty borrowing in international markets.
China does have its own swap lines, and it has built a very broad network that is completely in parallel to the dollar system that we all have been relying on for several decades.
Swap lines with other countries wouldn't be that effective, but coming from the Fed, it goes a long way.
Other countries have attempted to avoid the prominent U.S. dollar with strategic monetary policies, most notably in China.
Here's when they start talking about the U.S. dollar not maintaining its global authority over all the markets. So this is the intriguing part where, you know, a lot of times it's like, okay, are we going to lose our stature of the dollar? Is that value throughout the whole world, or is China going to take it over? So this is a great area that I learned a lot as well.
In every single sector now, we're seeing Chinese companies really compete and win. It's not Nike or Adidas. You know, it's Li Ning and other companies in China. The EVs, we know this story. It's BYD. It's not Tesla.
The flood of EVs that we see coming out of China is a direct result of the fact that China has become debt saturated and can't use its previous growth model to just increase investment, increase leverage. If they're following this growth model, then they have to rely more on exports. At the same time, the other side of the dichotomy is that they want to internationalize the renminbi.
The renminbi is also known as the Chinese yuan. This currency accounts for 4.3% of payments made globally. That share is rising, but it's far behind the use of dollars or euro, according to the Federal Reserve.
This is the area that was shocking to me, because I was looking at, they were saying that China's trying to get with Russia and other countries to get a currency to take over the dollar. Look at the difference. They're at 4%. We're at 47%. This was brand new data to me, and I find this a little comforting, knowing we're that far ahead as a country versus all the countries behind us. With the euro, they're in second spot, and they're, you know, about half of where we're at this point. So I learned a lot from this as well.
It doesn't take off by itself because China lacks the sort of the natural economic reasons why you would want to sort of hold in that currency. But it starts to take off when the dollar becomes weaponized, as it was against Russia.
Another thing I'd say that's happening is this movement towards central bank digital currencies. Yuan is an example of that. Can any of these replace the dollar? Certainly not in the near term. But at the same time, I would say dollar assets used to be somewhere about 70%, and they've declined from 70% in 2000 to now 60%. So you see some chipping away happening.
But I always come back to, what is the alternative? Who's the heir? And I don't think there is any apparent heir to the throne right now.
So that's the show that we have for you today. I hope you learned something there. I don't like just taking that video and taking the entirety of it and whatever. I do clip those in every day, just snippets. But I found that last night and I was like, I got to share this. So I hope you guys enjoy that video. And that's it for today. So if you really want to know what the Federal Reserve, when they cut rates, what effects it has, I think you'll find out that it has a lot more effects than you thought. So thanks for watching, folks. Hope to see you next time. Bye-bye.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.